Jim did it very well in starting back at Genesis when we open up God's holy word, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, what was the answer, children? Let there be light. Yeah, amazing. No sun, no stars at that point. But God says, let there be light, and there was light. And so as we start at the beginning of creation, we find, and if you read the creation account, I've had a number of young people over the years who have challenged me and said, but how is there light? Because I don't find a sun or a moon created until what day? Fourth day. But yet, we find earlier in that creation account, God separates the light from the darkness. Where does that light come from? We find that God Himself is that light. He is the one who has created that light. And if you can figure out more than that, you're probably smarter than most of us. So we just know that God declares Himself as light. It's interesting that Matthew, as he records the account of the Messiah, the Christ child, coming to his people, we find that he puts it this way in Matthew chapter 4. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Now, we're not going to be lighting everybody's candles right now, but as we think about the gospel, as we think about the Messiah, the Christ coming in, what we find is God created light and He gave us light. But yet, it was an unfolding revelation throughout history. I think most of you were here this morning and we talked about that we now have some 6,000 years of recorded human history. An unfolding of the light. A little bit more. Each generation. Suddenly bright bursts of light come in. And that's what Matthew spoke of in Matthew 4. The people dwelling in the darkness saw a great light. They got to see the Christ child. You ever thought through, and I have sat, and I think I've preached more than one message, of what it must have been like to be perhaps the shepherd or someone else in the field as they saw that. But what is it like for a people dwelling in the darkness, the people who have sinned? Because we know that's the truth of Scripture. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are a people in the darkness. But we have the hope of the Christ child. John puts it this way in John chapter 3. He says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. And people love the darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. Kids, you know this well. You want to hide something from mom and dad, what do? We go typically into the dark room. We might even put a flashlight under our covers. I did that more than once as a child. You know, got the flashlight, and would cover it up, hide my sin. But Christ has come into the world to shine light. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come into the light, lest his work should be exposed. Whoever does what is true comes to the light. Christ Jesus, the Savior, He brings light into our life. He allows our light to shine brightly. And so we see Christ with a promise of salvation is so often throughout Scripture referred to light. Remember, we talked about in the creation. The light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so we find Jesus is called the light of the world. And the prophet Isaiah declared of Jesus in Isaiah 49, I will make you as a light for the nation, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. What an amazing thing that this child who was born, the God-man, born of a virgin, given to us, he is called a light for the nation. If you remember Mary and Joseph, if they came to the temple after Jesus was born, they were obedient Jewish family, and they needed to dedicate their child. You remember Simeon when Christ was brought to the temple? I love that passage because good old Simeon, a man who is up in his years, has studied the prophecies, I'm guessing is thinking, not a lot of hope left. What's going to happen? God has forgotten us as a people because they were God's chosen people, but yet they were a people under bondage. But when Simeon sees the Christ child, Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 25, it says this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he's waiting. And somehow, some way, he had this wonderful promise that the Christ child he would get to see. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, verse 27. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And Simeon said, I love these words. Listen, can you imagine that you have been waiting for the hope, the salvation that God would provide in the flesh? Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Imagine that, holding the Christ child. He says, my eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples. Listen to the next words of Simeon. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Verse 33, I love it. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. So often we read over a scene like that and just forget or miss the importance of that. As he stands up and sees the fulfillment, the unfolding plan of redemption since the proto-gospel of Genesis 3:15, the promise of the Christ child. How many times, how many hundreds of years, how many disappointments for God's people were saying, God can provide salvation, but yet we're going to try it our own way. And now God had sent Christ in the flesh to be the salvation for his people. What an amazing truth. This is what is different. This is what is unique about Christianity from every other religion. You can go and you can debate with a Muslim. You can talk with someone who believes in Zoroastrianism or Taoism. They're all systems of, if you do this, you might please the Creator enough. But in the light of the world, when we see the Christ child, we see that he has come in the flesh. He came to do what none of us could do. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And that's why often,